Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be together this morning. How many of you joined us last night at our Passion Night? We are coming fresh off. Come on, let's give it up. It was a wonderful time. Yes. We've said it before that there are different kinds of meetings. And if you hear my voice is a little bit hoarse, it was because we don't spare voices when we are praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's also some winter changes anyway. And so there are different kinds of meetings. If you're just here on a Sunday morning, you will never experience what it is like to just praise and worship the Lord for 3 hours nonstop, to be jumping, shouting, celebrating, jumping, shouting, shouting some more and celebrating. And there's really something special about that. So I truly want to encourage you. Passion Night is not a young people's event where they are just going crazy. It is the Lord's event where we are ministering to the Lord. I think yesterday about 21 people gave their lives to the Lord after the Passion Night. So really tremendous life-changing environment. We thank God for that. And then on Friday we were here having our singles mixture. I believe some of you have met somebody special. And if not, at least you receive principles concerning your walk with the Lord in the area of being single in preparation for marriage. We are going to have another one coming up in winter somewhere, probably July somewhere. We had about 200 people here on Friday. Yeah, just awesome. And if you were not there, talk to me 20 years from now. Amen? Yes. So whenever we encourage you to attend something, it is truly because we believe that the Holy Spirit wants to encounter you in that place. Amen. And then tomorrow is once again our day of prayer and fasting for everyone and forever. Amen. And so tomorrow we are fasting. We fast as a church every single Monday. We fast. And we pray together at the end of the day. We break our fast afterwards. And we have seen that this has provoked many, many miracles in the lives of people. Multiple deliverances. I was making a list the other day of people that have been delivered in this church of demons and oppression and all of that. And I was running out of names. And this is because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Word of God says, if we cast out demons by the power, by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so it's right here happening in the midst of us. Amen. And it is not because of one person or two, but it is because as a church, we are praying and fasting. And we are confronting the forces of darkness. And we are believing that as we pray and fast, that each one of us will enter into the destiny of God for our lives. Amen. And then tomorrow, after our prayer time, we will have a special meeting, which is our Marketplace Forum. This is particularly to bring together individuals that are involved in the marketplace, whether you be a leader in the marketplace or you just have a passion to see God bring change. We're going to be sitting together discussing certain things, making illustrations of what the church has done in South Africa and in the United States as well, certain institutions that we have to put in place, the approach that we're going to take to take the gospel from the four corners of the church into the marketplace beyond the discipleship model that we have of the small group. So if you're in the marketplace, you don't want to miss that. We're not going to record it this time around. It will be a little bit of an open forum discussion, but we believe that God is birthing something into the marketplace. So don't miss out on that. And then we've got the growth weekend coming up. This is a milestone for every single person within this church. Excuse me. And this is a milestone for every single person within the church. If you want to grow from one level to the next, the process starts with your victory training, where we teach you about how to be free from bondage and disease and sickness and generational things, and we cast out the demons that you came with to church, etc. We burn the witchcraft that you have at home. We burn the idols that you have. We pray against the tattoos that you have, and we cut off all the boyfriends that you have and the girlfriends that you have. You come out of the weekend free. And then after that, the next milestone is the Discover Every Nation, where you become a member of the church. And then the next milestone is Making Disciples training. And so they all happen on the same weekend, so you're going to have to choose one of them. And I just want to alert the leaders and the Connect leaders, please prepare yourself. That weekend is a working weekend for us. Either you are counseling someone or you are helping. Or it's not just like, oh, I'm happy that I have my weekend. Tell your neighbor, your weekend belongs to Jesus. Tell your other neighbor, your weekend also belongs to Jesus. It's not time for sin. Tell them. Maybe last night was a forgettable night. And so as a church, we have work to do. Amen. It's not just a matter of getting saved and then sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen. And then if you're not in a Connect group, please do join a Connect group. It is the place where we actually help you to grow spiritually, where you learn the fundamentals of the Word of God. And so please sign up at the information table for that, in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So today we're culminating our series. We're ending our series on the set apart nation that we've been preaching for the last, how many weeks has it been? Is it 7 weeks? Yeah, every time we just extend it, it's like there's more. And so it's been a wonderful time, giving us a little bit of a perspective. And what's amazing is the scriptures apply to every part of life. And that's something that has very much been a fascination in my personal life. That the Word of God is not a Sunday thing. The Word of God is not for the church. The Word of God is not even only for the Christians. Anyone that takes the Word of God and applies it in their lives will begin to reap the harvest of the seeds that they are sowing. And so this is why we preach messages, to give you a perspective apart from what happens at church, even in the marketplace, even on a national level, of what God is doing in the nations. And so the first week we started off saying that nations belong to God. The second week we covered how nations are ruled from the heavenlies. And all of these messages are online. If you haven't heard them, they're on YouTube. Please like, subscribe, switch on the notification button. You have to learn these things. It's the lingo of this generation. And then the third week, we spoke about the principles for a godly nation. That one had three sessions. We started off saying that a nation can choose to be blessed, that citizens have body, soul, and spirit, and then that they are there are fundamental philosophies for the purpose of order and government. And we said that the purpose of government is that there should be order. You know, I always do like a recap like this, because I had a biology teacher in grade 9 that always, whenever we came to class, he would say, let's consolidate. And then he would basically cover the last lesson in bullet point. And I got 90% in that class for biology every time. And even the dummies in the class got really high marks because of how the teaching was being done. And so repetition is the mother of memorization. Amen. And so sometimes we want to just run it through, even though it does take time. Okay, so today we're dealing with the seven areas of godly influence. Father, we thank you, Lord. We have come this morning to receive your wisdom, to receive impartation from your word. We thank you, God, that even as your word goes out, that you are touching us body, soul, and spirit, that you are healing diseases, that you are healing and restoring our minds and our hearts, that you are building us up, Lord God, that you are establishing us, and you are building up, Lord God, your destiny in our lives. We thank you, your word will not return void this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the transformation in our lives and in our nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so most of the time, this is the tradition of people, they have this great commitment many times that I should at least be at church on Sunday. As a Christian, we should go to church. How many of you growing up, that was the doctrine of the house? We are going to church on Sunday. Yes. The rest of you, your parents gave you a choice. Those are wicked parents. Yes. If you don't give your children a choice of going to school, then don't give them a choice of going to church. Why? Because what you learn at school will help you in life. What you learn at church will help you in life and in the afterlife. Ask your neighbor, don't you love your child enough? Yes. If you love your children, you make them go to church. Amen. Obviously, make sure that you are at a nice church like this one, you know. And it's important that as parents, you have a commitment to assess the church that you are. Don't just be in the church because my grandfather was buried in this church. Okay? He couldn't care less about which church you guys go to on the basis of his burial. And so many of us have this idea that I go to church on Sunday, and then after that, for the next 6 days, I'm off. And then Sunday, once again, is the Lord's day. And then the next 6 days, I'm off again. And then Sunday, I'm in church again. And I think it's important that we have this approach of the importance of being in church on Sunday. But it has this effect of teaching us that God is a Sunday God. And then the rest of the week, it's just life, real life. Because many people have this idea that, no, Christianity is not, it's not for real life, you know. It's like for when you need some encouragement and stuff. But if you want to do well in business, don't bother with church things. If you want to do well in life, you know, if you want to be successful, don't bother with church things, you know. Don't waste your time there, you know. People could be here saying, no, this 1.5 hour, I could have been out there making money, you know. Real money, not spiritual money, real money. And so many people have this idea, and they discard the value of the Word of God in their lives. And so we're going to speak about 7 areas of godly influence, and how these areas in society have to have the representation of the believers and the principles of the Word of God in them in order for us to see a set-apart nation, a godly nation. Namibia will not become a godly nation on the basis of its Sunday attendance alone. What happens on Sunday has to permeate the week. If what we teach you on Sunday, you don't apply during the week, we have failed. Are you with me? And so that's why when we say there's a connect group, when we say there's a passion night on a Saturday, there's a night of encounter, 6 hours of praying on a Friday night, when we say that there's a marketplace forum on a Monday night, when we say that this and that, when we say that at home you need to have devotion with your family, when we say that all of these aspects are supposed to entrench in you the mentality that you belong to God. 7 days a week. All right, so let's look here at the first principle, which is that Jesus has all authority for order. Last week we spoke about how government is established in order to set things in order. Now, you must understand that Jesus Christ is not just a religious leader. Jesus is not like Muhammad or like Buddha or like Krishna or some other religious leader. Jesus is a political leader. Have you heard me say this before? Yes. Jesus is a government leader. The Word of God says the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and of his government and peace there will be no end. And so Jesus is a king, and you are a part of a kingdom. Are you understanding? So the church is like the legislature or the senate of the kingdom of God. They are the representatives from among the human beings called out for the purposes of God. And so it's very important that you have this idea of yourself. That the church is not just around, that Jesus is not just some religious leader. Jesus is a king, a real king. Jesus is more a king than King Charles. Jesus is more a king than King Mswati. Jesus is more a king than all the other kings in your village. And yet, when your king from your village walks in, there's like this, oh, wow, the king is here. Ntate. Baba. But when Jesus walks in the room, hello, Jesus. And so we must understand that Jesus has all authority. This nation belongs to Jesus. Whether you believe in him or not, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. He owns it. The first week we said, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the people and all who dwell therein belong to Jesus. Even if you don't believe. And if you don't believe, he will use you for dishonorable purpose. But if you believe, you will become part of those who are in the favor of God. Are you with me? I'm warning you against backsliding and leaving my Jesus, because there is no salvation anywhere else. If you are not with him, you are against him. Tell your neighbor, if you are not with my Jesus, you are against him. And there are many of us that want this neutral approach. No, man, I have no trouble with Jesus. He's over there, I'm over here living my life. No, no, you can't have it like that. He owns everything and he demands that men repent everywhere. He demands it, demands. As much as yesterday evening, we were here at the Passion Night, and when we were doing the altar call, we were imploring people, begging people. We were asking them, please consider yourself, come to your senses. And come to Jesus. Come, come. It is time. It is time to leave your sins. It is time to convert to the Lord. It is time to come and receive life. And one by one, they would come. Then as we are about to pray to receive Jesus, then we say, is there anyone else? Then another one will come. Then we say, is there anyone else? Another one will come. As we are about to say, Lord, come into my heart. We say, wait, is there someone else? Another one will come. The word of God says, in the past, he overlooked things. But in these days, after his son has died on the cross, he demands every man to come and repent. And so you must have an understanding that there is no like opinions. Oh, yes. There is no opinions when it comes to the kingdom of God. We are talking about monarchy. And it says in Matthew 28, this was just before Jesus ascended into the heavens. He spoke to his disciples and he said this. Jesus came to them and said, all authority, where? In heaven and on earth. All authority. How much authority? All. Who else can say that? Nobody. All authority, where? In heaven and on earth. All authority in Zimbabwe. All authority in the United States of America. All authority in China. All authority in Namibia. All authority in Comasdal. All authority in Dorado. All authority in Kleiner Scoop. All authority. And this is what Jesus said to them. I'm the one. It's awesome. I'm the one. I came out of death just 40 days ago, and I have the keys. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because all authority has been given to me, not because I want to start some religious group and go out and do what you want. Because I am the great one in the heavens and in the earth. Because of all authority is mine. Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Christ, but more specifically, is an apprentice, is an intern, is a student. So you can have a disciple in business, someone that you mentor, someone that you teach that is becoming like you. Are you with me? And so Jesus says, because all authority is given to me, go and make disciples. Teach nations. Go and make disciples of who? How many? How many nations? All nations. How many nations do we have here? Brother, where are you from? Which nation? Namibia. You? Oh. Let me come this side. Zimbabwe. Is it just Namibia and Zimbabwe here? Can I have some hands? Yes. Angola. Malawi. South Africa. Botswana. Congo. Ethiopia. Yes.
Kenya.
Yes, brother. Eritrea. Ochivarongo. Oh, Portugal. Bem-vindo, amigo. Portugal, where else? Yes, ma'am. Zambia, where else? Germany. So we are teaching nations as we speak. Why? Why? There are implications to what you don't know. Oh, Lord. The whole earth has been captured by wickedness. They are prisoners of war. And Jesus came to establish the legality for their freedom and for their prosperity on a national level. But they don't know. You remember when Abraham Lincoln was president, I think he was the 14th or 15th president of the United States. He was one of the presidents that fought for the liberation of the slaves. And there was a civil war between the North and the South. And he made a declaration called the Emancipation Proclamation. This proclamation says that according to the government, all slaves are supposed to be free from today. Hallelujah. Slavery has been abolished. And yet, 5 years later, Kunta Kinte will still be found in Alabama, Mississippi, wading in the water, picking cotton. Why? Because nobody came to tell them. And I bet you they, one, couldn't read to find that information. The massa didn't allow them to listen to the radio to get that information. And massa also knew about that proclamation and said, keep them in the dark as long as possible. Don't tell them that actually they are free men in this nation, because then I can continue to take advantage of their lives. Are you with me? This is what happened. Until someone comes from the government and says, who are these people that are working in this plantation? They are not supposed to be slaves anymore. Let them go. And if there's any resistance, we force it. This is what I love, deliverance ministry. It is such an illustration of what Jesus does. He came to set the captives free. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so he says, all authority, go and teach nations. And then he says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. We must teach you. Guys, if we come to you in discipleship and we say, you must no longer sleep around, because this is destroying your future. You must now get married and have children and have your family. You must no longer steal and bribe and be corrupt. You must be an honest businessman and do it like this and like that. You must no longer draw pictures of naked people as your art form. You must now draw pictures of things that glorify God. When we teach you, we must also insist that you obey. Jesus said, teach them to what? To obey. So don't be surprised when we are on your case and we say, brother, this sister that you are with, she doesn't know the Lord. And according to the scriptures, you are not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So since you are in my connect group and in my church for all that matter, you are going to leave her today. Bring out your phone. Oh. It's like, Pastor, can I just pray about it? There's nothing to pray about. It's there in the Bible. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What will that brother do? Next week, he'll be at a traditional church. It is well. It is well with my soul. He will go to a church where they do not insist obedience. Because Jesus there is just a religious figure. Oh no. Teach them to obey. Teach them to obey what? Everything that Jesus has commanded us, we must teach you to obey. If we don't teach you to obey, you will not obey. You will have a lot of knowledge. There are many Christians like that. They know a lot. They know a lot, but they do little. They have not been taught to obey. Give us the next one. Jesus commanded the church. This is an important aspect. This is a command to the church. How many of you consider yourself to be part of the church? Just wave at me. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a believer. You are born again. You're a child of God. Jesus commanded you to make disciples. How many of you are making disciples as you stand right there? Just wave at me. And the rest of you? You are being discipled. Okay. After we are done discipling you, it's time to make disciples. This is not an option. Oh, man. It is not an option. Jesus, and some say, no, Pastor Chris. Jesus was only saying that to those 12 disciples there. There were not even only 12. This is a commission to all Christians. If you are a believer, you have been commanded by God to make disciples of all nations. Pastor Chris, are you saying that I have to become a pastor? I'm happy to leave my job now. I'll be at the church office by tomorrow morning. No, hold your horses. We are not asking you to resign your job. Give us the next one. Next one. So we're going to look here at the 7 areas of influence in a nation. This might not be exhaustive, but it gives us an indication of the different areas where God's influence must be represented. And you should be able to fit yourself somewhere in here. Number 1, arts and entertainment. Number 2, business. Business includes those of you who are professionals, accountants, doctors, lawyers, plumbers, electricians, business and economy. Then after that, the church. The church pertains particularly to people like us who are on staff, who are specifically in the administration and the working of the church. Next, because imagine that we are outlining 7 areas of influence in a nation and we put the church there. Why? Because in some churches, God is not there. Hi, Pastor Chris. How can you say that? It is true. And then the next one, education. Teachers, professors, principals of schools, department heads, education. Next one, family. Family, the home. And God's influence must come. I'm telling you, if in these areas, the word of God and the discipleship is not taking place, I'm telling you, the devil is using that arena as an influence to destroy the nation. Next one, media. Next one, government. Okay, let's start at the front. Arts and entertainment. There are some of us that are involved in arts and entertainment. We are musicians. We are dancers, performing artists. We are visual artists, painters, and designers. You know, God is also an artist. The Word of God says that we are His workmanship, we are His masterpiece. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy and also in Exodus, it says that He put His spirit on Bezalel, and Bezalel became proficient in crafts and arts and engraving in gold and silver. So God's spirit is able to come on you for all of these areas. And there was a time here in the 1950s, entering into the 1970s, where the postmodern thought and philosophy started to come into the arts and entertainment in a very strong way, rising from the Enlightenment way back in the 1800s. And what people started to do is bring abstractions of art. And today, if you go to some museums, not only in France, but even in Namibia, you will see the nude body of human beings. You remember Michelangelo? He painted the Sistine Chapel, yeah? The ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, I think it's in Italy. I haven't been. Have you guys been? Okay, Namibia is still a nice place. So Michelangelo is this famous painter, and Michelangelo is famous for the statue of David, remember? So the statue of David, what is peculiar about the statue of David is that David's statue is unclothed. He is naked. And he didn't even do it like the mannequins at Foschini, where in the front it's like, he put all the details there. It's art. And so this is what his mentor asked him, Michael, why are you sculpting nude sculptures? Why don't you put clothes on them? And then Michelangelo said, it's because I want to see them the way God sees them. And his mentor asked him, are you God? You know, the area of arts and entertainment has become the area where it's like anything goes. Anything is art. My goodness, the way they are selling for millions, one dot on a piece of paper, one red dot, pa! And then all the sophisticated people are there with their wine glass, and they're like, wow! What do you see from this dot? To the gentleman in the hat, 2 million sold. One dot on a piece of paper. I can make one dot on a piece of paper. Can you come out there with people splashing paint? Wow. 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 $5 million. Just not any special paint. Then you have the videographers and the movie makers. You know, this is something that I'm passionate about. We'll hopefully end up into animation as well. Man, you come out with certain demonic things, and it's art. I remember back in the day when Mnet used to have this, this movie is unsuitable for ages under 10 or under 13. Viewer discretion is advised. Parental guidance is advised. This film has L, S, V, A, P, X, plus. And the idea is this, that the older you are, the more you can indulge certain forms of art. Lie. This is why your grown-up husband is watching a lot of art. on his cell phone. That art that in the past used to be the art of prostitution. So if you are an artist, add a conscience to your art. Remember in South Africa, when was that? 5 years ago? When a painting came out called The Spear. You remember The Spear? What are you guys doing? Just praying for nations, huh? You don't get out of the house. It's just like, Nigeria, open up the gates. Okay, so there was this painting of Jacob Zuma. You remember? That red painting that looks almost like it's like a communist vibe going, you know, a Lenin type of thing. Okay, I'm not going to describe anymore. But it was obscene. Obscene. And there was this big debate in South Africa about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. There are certain forms of art and entertainment that you must understand. It's either you are being influenced from the realm of God or you are being influenced from the realm of the demonic. And all of them use this window. This is why we must make disciples of artists. This is why we must make disciples of entertainers. Many of them come out with a song. Your mother, your father, God. Oh, I wanna die. Then they win a Grammy. I just wanna thank God, first of all. I wanna thank God. And then I wanna thank my mother and my homies. Ray Ray JJ. We made it, bro. We made it. Arts and entertainment. And I'm telling you, this window is the one that is discipling your children right now. While you are busy with your assignment for your PhD in accounting, your child is watching F.U. Your mother. Okay, let's move on. Business and economics. There's a right way to do business and a wrong way to do business, and the Word of God is full of it. Okay? It is important that we disciple business people, because business people are at the core of employment, not the government. Yes. Enterprise is one of the oldest things that God would give to Adam, a territory, and say, cultivate it and produce. And so in the area of business, integrity is critical. Diligence is critical. And God wants to bless people in the area of business and economics. That God can prosper you. You know a company in the USA called Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, it's like in Africa they'll be known as KFC. Or Hungry Lion, depending on how oily you like your chicken. And so Chick-fil-A has this rule that they don't open on Sundays. But their profits exceed those fast food stores that open on Sunday. Godly leaders. There's another gentleman, his name is R.J. Letourneau. He had a company with earth moving equipment. You know those big cat machines and all for construction. Yes. He ended up, in the latter days of his life, he was giving away 70% of his money and living on 30 because he was making so much. He was a tither of note. Yes. How many of you are business people here? And you are suffering. You know, it's it is dry out there. I invite you to bring Jesus in to consult in your business and make him a shareholder in your enterprise and follow his advice. Okay, the church, very clear. We've got the Anglican church now splitting the Europeans from the Africans because they are ordaining homosexual bishops. Oh yes, the Methodists are also on their way. It's just Africa that is holding the last stands. Old school. Yes. And so in the church, we must have men and women who cannot be bribed by the members. We must have men and women who cannot be seduced by the worship leaders and seduced in the counseling session. It is a shame today that the world is trying to expose through media the wickedness within the church, whereas the church is supposed to be the light of the world. Amen. The word is very clear. Who are supposed to be church leaders? An elder must be the husband of one wife. He must be above reproach. He must not love wine. He must not be a lover of money. And. But we have discarded that because we are wiser. Next one, education. I'm telling you now, it is the greatest equalizer. Because of education, the next generation can thrive, depending on the kind of education that they give you. Back in the day, in the apartheid days, there used to be a distinction of the education that the white people got and the education of the natives. They called us natives. The swart mensa. Yeah, the black people. And it was called what? Bantu education. Why? Because they knew if these people learn something that we know, they have the potential to become what we are. And so in the area of education, how many of you are teachers and you are in the education departments and all of that? You are professors, you are lecturers. Is this it? Guys, when we ask how many, just put your hand, please, you know, help me to preach here. Otherwise, I'll go longer. Okay? This is a calling. Nowadays, teachers are becoming teachers because it's a salary. No. You are holding, you know, back in the day, teaching was like deputy parents. I remember growing up in those schools where the teacher will say, "Ongeskak, onbeskof." You feel like that word is hitting you in the feelings because they are rebuking you so sharply about your lack of manners. And then they must tell you, my child, you must pull up your pants, tuck in your shirt, pull up your socks. What is the fat collar and your book? Spots, oily spots. Yes. Teachers are supposed to raise not only the mind, but also the heart. Okay, we don't have much time to spend there. Family. We've already spoken about that. Media. How many of you are in the media? Should be everybody. Huh? If you are posting on your Facebook and your Twitters and all of that, you are in media. Yes. Today, everybody is in media. Yes. And media is a medium. It is a doorway for ideas and values and beliefs to come through. And you've got many platforms, and there are going to be many more. And in the area of media, you have to have some kind of regulation of your life. Otherwise, all manner of things will come through. It's called propaganda. Yes. The media can be used as an instrument to control the minds and the hearts of citizens. And many governments have abused this to keep certain information away from the people and disclose other information, especially in the time of elections. And the principle of the media is this: T-R-U-T-H, truth. For those of you. Teeth. Not teeth, truth. Okay? So this is the principle. If it's not true, don't put it out. We had a massive controversy just a year or two ago with the whole COVID situation. COVID-19, you remember? Someone, I blocked out. Yes, there was a lot of what they call disinformation and misinformation and all of that. If believers are not involved in the media, I'm telling you, lies are going to prevail over a nation. And a lie always precedes destruction. Are you with me? Yes. Yes. And then on top of it all, there is this bias to report and to disclose things that are bad. Because good news don't sell no papers. They don't sell no, yeah? They don't get a lot of likes. You need something that is bizarre. 4-year-old kills grandmother. Boom. 4-year-old invents aeroplane. Yeah. What are we saying here? Next one, government. We've spoken about government before. When it comes to government, it's about order. If you don't have self-discipline and order in your own life, get out of government, please. Yes. You know, government should be free. Yes. Public service should be free. And someone will say, and so much ministry be. The idea is this, that you are not supposed to come for selfish gain. How many of you are in government? You work for government. You are well acquainted with the brown envelope. Because you have to shift it away every time. No, brother. Korabasunda, I am. I am that I am. Yeah. The problem, I remember watching this video of one of the sultans, huh? The Arabs, huh? Who were speaking, I think they were videoing the guy in Dubai. And so the guy was saying, and they were asking, so what's happening in your nation? No, we are building another big city. We are building another island in the ocean. We are just, and so then he says, you know, the problem with you Africans, it was a brother that was asking, the problem with you Africans, you have petroleum, you have diamonds, you have gold, you have resources, you have all these things, but what you lack is leadership. We are in the desert. We have petroleum. And out of that, we have created the city that draws nations. And you, in Africa? No, the white man colonized us. You see, Pastor Chris, let me just explain the context. The white man colonized us, and then because of slavery, yeah, because of slavery, we are now traumatized, and this is why. It's been 30 years, it's been 40 years, it's been 50 years, it's been 60 years. Where are the leaders who are willing to rise up within this congregation from among the believers who say that I will run for office and I will change that situation? No, Pastor Chris, Christians shouldn't be in politics. It's a dirty game. You don't know what is there. That thing will swallow you, change you, and spit you out. Spoken like a true unbeliever. Ask your neighbor, do you have faith? Ask them again, do you have faith in God? Then ask them again, do you have faith in the God of the Bible? Yes, because anybody can have faith in nonsense. But if you have faith in the God of the Bible, he'll place you in a place and you'll change a whole entire nation. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. We haven't even touched on the professionals, you know, in the area of business, you know. Many of the medical doctors nowadays, except my wife. Hey. It's about the money nowadays. I remember, this is one of those memories that I loathe. When my father passed away, 2009, he fell in my mother's house just here in Tauban Glen. I was with a friend visiting. We picked him up and we put him in the car and we rushed him to the Catholic hospital. Then we dragged him out. By that time, I'm trying to raise the dead. I'm trying to shout and cry and scream and all of that. By the time we got there, dragging him out and all, crying for help and shouting in the corridor, and the administrator comes out. Okay, calm down, calm down, come on. Do you guys have medical aid? to make a brother want to backslide. Do you guys have medical aid? Asking me a lot of 120, the time is of the essence. Long story short, they put him on the gurney. This is what, maybe like 10 minutes later. Then the doctor comes in. Oh, we made promises. No, we're willing to pay. What? And my wife gave me a stern encouragement the other day. If ever I'm in trouble, she said, take me to the Katutura Hospital. Because Dr. Christian will be there at the ER. Bring her through. Medical aid, Safut. Yes. And then with your medical aid, they put you there in the great lady's beds. And then once that medical aid is depleted, then they call an ambulance from Katutura. Komali remains. We need this bed. Time is ticking. We make money from that pillow. Then they come, they get you. They don't even half pat you. They don't even take you halfway and hand you there. They just at the door, bye-bye, quack. And you know what was the time when we actually had our eyes open concerning this? It was during COVID, when those places were full. And then people were here, realizing, oh, this is actually nice. There are nice doctors here and all of that. Why does it have to be like that? Because the nations have not been discipled. The people have not been taught. That the word of God has not been placed in the heart of people. There's a Hippocratic oath. There are certain principles that are supposed to cause you to consider the life of someone more than your pockets. There's something that should give you a compassion to say, I will do what is right. If you are a judge on the seat, on the bench of the Supreme Court or of the High Court, that you will not have unequal balances, but that you will have the fear of God on your life, and that you will make a ruling that is based on truth and justice. Yeah, Pastor Chris, I am a housewife. I am a stay-at-home mother. Oh, thank God for my stay-at-home mother. She discipled young men and young women that today are making an impact. Why? Because they have taken up seriously. I'm telling you, there were holidays when I felt like, it's holiday. Can't we wake up at 10, 5 o'clock, handing out the hymnals? And you know, my mom made an extra effort because we were going to contemporary schools. She would come home with all these comic books, Christian comic books. I don't know where she got them. Because she knew that Bible is boring as it is, just words, ink on paper. She brought for us those Nehemiah. I still remember the pictures, Nehemiah and all. Me, I was forced to play the guitar every single morning in that small church with my sisters. Don't build your house on the sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might look, wake up! Because some of the members are like, yes. I remember when we used to go to high school. This was the program. We pray. When someone travels, we pray. When someone comes back, we pray. I remember my mom walking me to the bus to go and play rugby, choker rugby, yeah, in grade 3. And we pray, just me and her, eating the bread and the tea. Taking me to the bus. Let's pray. And then whenever you travel, there's always a family meeting, encouragement. And what my mom started doing when we started going to high school is she came home with those pamphlets from the hospital, those HIV thingy kiss. Hey, you hand out the hymnal and then you hand up those pamphlets with the pictures of the STDs and what they look like on the genitalia. Syphilis, I know what syphilis looks like. I was 11 when I saw a picture. Syphilis, I know what syphilis looks like. I know what gonorrhea looks like. I know what AIDS, I know it. Why? Because she's discipling people who are going to teach others, and by the time they are mouthing their things on their social media, they must not be promoting darkness and demonic doctrines. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we stand? God has a heart for this nation of Namibia. God has a heart for your family. God has a heart for your marriage. You are valuable to God. You can be something in this life. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter the family you come from. You are now in the family of God. You are now among the people of God. He has made you kings and priests unto God. He is raising up a generation in these end times who will be fearless, who will stand for righteousness, who will be humble, who will have the wisdom of God, who will be peacemakers in the nations, who will raise sons and daughters who are wise and who are courageous. So right where you are, just pray right now for your own heart. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your workplace. And pray for this nation right now. Let's just take some time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let your kingdom come, Lord God, in our nation, in every sphere of our nation, every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Lord God, let the reputation of the saints, Lord God, be that of men of character, men of integrity, men of virtue, women of character, women of virtue, women of integrity, Lord God, the ones who are with the wisdom of God, the ones who have ideas that solve problems, the ones who have the solutions from the Ancient of Days. If you are here this morning, you need to repent because you have despised the work that you are doing. You have underestimated the impact that you can make there. Today is the day to change. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to change your mind and to say, Lord, you have not given me your spirit for nothing. You have not given me the wisdom of God for nothing. You have not given me the word of God for nothing. You have not placed me in this church for nothing. But it is for such a time as this that you have called me, that you have raised me up in this generation to make a difference in my school, to make a difference in my workplace, to make a difference in my business, to make a difference in this government, to make a difference in the arts and in culture, to make a difference in media, to make a difference in my family. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, what a great, great honor to be the ones who are sent out into the nations, to disciple nations, to teach them this is the way. Let's forsake the other way of destruction and death. Let's follow the way that brings life and light to nations in all the earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, some of you are thinking of what to study. May God give you wisdom. May God give you wisdom to study the right field, the right degree, the right course. Some of you, I see people, you've already passed your time, your children are raised, and you are wondering, what do I do now? And God is saying that your time is not over yet. I still have people for you to teach and impact and train. I'm going to open doors for you to study. I'm going to open doors for you to be equipped. I'm going to open doors for you to start a business. I'm going to open doors for you to serve in the public ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, we confirm that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you might come to church, but you have never received Him personally. The Word of God says, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All these good things you can do, but eternal life is what it's about. If you die today, are you right with God? Are you right with God? And the Holy Spirit will convict your heart and say to you, my brother, my sister, you need to get right with God. You must be born again. John 3, verse 3. You must be born again, Jesus said. And that, if that's you, I want to pray for you. You need to give your life to Christ this morning. You came to church not just to listen to a sermon, not just to sing songs, but you came to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand where you are so that I can pray for you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. There's nothing to be ashamed about, because this is eternal life, that we may know Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else? You need to receive Jesus this morning. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste the invitation. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You need to receive Jesus. Those of you are raising your hand, please bring your bag. Come and stand here close to me. I want to pray for you. Come to Jesus from where you are. Can we celebrate the Lord? Guys, if you are not born again, you are lost. You are lost, and Jesus is searching for you. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? You need to come before we pray. Our time is running out. The parking is going to be full just now. Thank you, Lord. Can we pray for them? Just open your hands like this. Jesus loves you. Even though you are a sinner, He will receive you today and change your life. Pray with me from your heart this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I know that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I receive you today. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for my sins. You suffered on the cross for me. And in 3 days, you were raised from the dead. You are raised from the dead, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Master. Be my Savior. Be my healer. Be my helper. Be my everything. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Every part of me. Today I receive eternal life. I receive forgiveness of sins. And from today I'm born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We want to spend a few minutes with you, just praying for you some more, giving you some material, some information. Okay? Today is a happy day. It's the day that you came to give your life to Christ. You will never be the same again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just follow that lady over there with the basket. She will take your information. They will pray with you. And then you can come back and fellowship with us and come for prayer if you need to. Okay? God bless you. Hallelujah. Just follow her right there. Thank you, Lord. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I really feel the Holy Spirit saying, you must pray. Church, you must pray. You must pray, okay? Don't be anxious. Pray instead. Yeah, there are many. The Bible says in the last days, the troubles will arise and men's hearts will fail them. That is heart failure. Heart failure. Men's hearts will fail them. But those who pray will prevail. Are you with me? Husbands and wives, pray. Pray with your children. Pray with your family. Pray, 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 pray. Pray coming in. Pray coming out. Pray over. Pray, 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 pray. You are imploring the hand of the Almighty into your meaning, small situation. How can you be overwhelmed when God is your right hand and your helper? Amen. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Declare this with me in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace that will cause you to prosper in your body, in your soul, and your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envindhook.org.